We're going to be turning to Psalm 91. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you that even in these days, that you are at work in your world. Father, we thank you especially for opportunities for the gospel at this time that perhaps we wouldn't normally have. We pray that we would be alert to those. We pray that we would be faithful in taking the opportunities that you give us. And we pray that you would speak to us as your people in these days. Father, we pray that we would have hearts that are humble and receptive to how you would want to work in us and change us through this. And even that you would give us a greater thanksgiving and appreciation for what it is to meet together as church, that we would thirst and long for that close fellowship again. Thank you that we can open your word just now in Psalm 91. Thank you that it is the very living and enduring word of the true and eternal God. And Father, we pray that you would help us now to listen well, and by the power of your Spirit, that you would bring your truth for today, for us right here, right now, that you would bring that to our minds and hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Psalm 91, and we're reading the whole of the psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is like a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? Psalm 91. In fact, maybe we would say, perhaps it sounds too good to be true. Isn't that what they used to say on the radio on a Saturday morning when you listen to On Your Behalf? Maybe it's still on, but they used to say, if it sounds too good to be true, then it's probably not true. Like one of those emails, dear Trevor, you have just inherited £1 million from a very distant relative in Uganda. All you need to do is send your bank details and the inheritance will be yours. Ever get an email like that? Do you think it's true? I don't think so. So is it the same with Psalm 91? We love to read it. Perhaps there are verses within it that we like to text to friends or family when they're in difficult situations. We like to claim the promises of Psalm 91 for ourselves and for others. But is it too good to be true? Verses 1 and 2 of the psalm are like a headline for the whole psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. It's a little bit like the introduction to a heavenly home insurance policy. If God is your true eternal home, your eternal dwelling place, your refuge, your fortress, the one in whom you trust, then this is just how safe this home is for you. The picture here is of a small bird that's safe under the wings of a powerful and strong and yet loving parent. But is it too good to be true? It certainly seems that it was too good to be true for the famous missionary Jim Elliot. His wife Elizabeth tells his story in Shadow of the Almighty, words taken from Psalm 91. And yet, living in the shadow of the Almighty doesn't seem to have been a very safe place for Jim Elliot. In 1956, along with four other missionary colleagues, he was savagely killed in the jungles of Ecuador. And he was killed by the very people he was seeking to reach with the gospel. I'm sure each of us have our own stories of suffering, times that we've prayed, times that we've held on to promises, perhaps even promises from Psalm 91. And yet, in the end, perhaps we feel that they just didn't seem to be true. So, is this true? And if it is, then how is it true? Let me say something really simple at the beginning of this sermon. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe the Bible, that all of the Bible is God's inspired and without error word. I believe it's sufficient and clear and authoritative and absolutely necessary. And so I believe that this Psalm, Psalm 91, because it's part of the Bible, God's word, then it's 100% true. To begin with, let's notice in the Psalm who is making these promises. Is this someone that's to be trusted? Well, from the summary at the beginning, we discover that the person making the promises is the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord God. That's in the summary introduction. If we go forward then to the conclusion in verses 14 to 16, we discover that it's a kind of personal underwriting. It's God's personal guaranteeing of all of these promises. The voice in the psalm changes to the first person singular, I, as God underwrites these promises and says, I will do this. The question I think is not so much, is this true? But how is it true? How is it true for me? How is it true for you? How is it true for every Christian? Because surely, if it's not true for every Christian, then I can't be sure that it's true for me, and you can't be sure that it's true for you. So, how is it true? The first part of our answer this evening is this. If Psalm 91 is true for Jesus, then it's true for every Christian, including me. And if you're a Christian, including you. If Psalm 91 is true for Jesus, then it's true for every Christian, including me, and if you're a Christian, including you. So why Jesus? Why does it have to be true for Jesus, first of all? Well, notice that these promises are given to one person. Did you notice that as we read? It's He who dwells, because He holds fast to me in love. God says, I will deliver him. I will protect him. I will answer him. I will be with him. I will rescue him. I will honor him, satisfy him, and show him my salvation. And that one person, I'm persuaded, is Israel's king, the Lord's anointed, the one who was called the Son of God. The language in this psalm is very similar to the language used in many of the psalms of David. David, who was God's king, perhaps God's best known king in Israel in the Old Testament. And actually, if we go forward to the New Testament, when Satan misquotes this psalm to Jesus, God's true promised king in Luke 4, here's what he says. He says, if you are the Son of God, if you are God's king. We could say that even Satan knew who this psalm was about. But we also have to say that if this psalm is for God's king, then Israel's kings, God's kings in Israel, fail to meet the conditions for these promises. Did you notice that each of the promises is conditional? It's He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, the one who truly says, my God, my refuge, my fortress in whom I trust. That's who will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It's the one who holds fast and continues to hold fast and perfectly holds fast to me in love, that I will deliver. And actually, it's only God's true King Jesus, born in David's line, who we can say fully meets these conditions from all eternity to all eternity, including his time here on this earth. And so these promises, these amazing promises, are his first and foremost. They belong to Jesus. So how then are these promises true for him? Because Jesus was delivered through suffering and death to life and loving relationship with God forever. Jesus was delivered through suffering and death to life and loving relationship with God forever. If verses 1 and 2 are the summary, as we've said, verses 14 to 16 are the underwriting of these insurance policy promises. So listen in as the Father personally guarantees these promises to his Son on the basis of his Son's perfect loving trust and obedience. God says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Yes, as we know, in his body, he will suffer. He will be despised and rejected. He will be pierced and crushed. But he will not be overcome. In fact, he is the one who will overcome sin and death and Satan. Satan may bruise his heel, but God's promised rescuing king will crush Satan's head. And we've a pointer to that here in Psalm 91, verse 13. He will tread on the lion, on that roaring lion, and the tempting serpent he will trample underfoot. And then God says, then I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Then, after he has suffered and died, after he has conquered sin and death and Satan, then risen, ascended, and reigning, according to Isaiah 53, he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days, the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. This is true for Jesus. And if this is true for Jesus, then this is true for us, for you and for me, if by faith we are in Jesus. This is true for you, and this is true for me, if by faith we are in Jesus. His trust is our trust, and trusting in him, so are these promises. You see, in Jesus, we too are delivered through suffering and death to life and loving relationship with God forever. In Jesus, we too are delivered through suffering and death to life and loving relationship with God forever. The Most High, the Almighty, the Lord God, he has written the policy. He has underwritten it. He has guaranteed it. And Jesus has paid the premium price. He has delivered all of these promises for all who are in him, in Jesus, dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. We couldn't be safer for time and for eternity. So let's go through the policy step by step. It's what you do, isn't it, when you get an insurance policy. You read the summary, you look at who's underwriting, who's guaranteeing the policy, and then you go through it step by step to see exactly what this cover is, exactly what is promised and to whom. Well, let's begin with that. Who is covered by this policy? Well, it's all who are in Jesus. What's true for him is true for us. He has paid, he has delivered, his trust, his promises, they are ours in him. Secondly, what type of cover is promised here? Well, it's fully comprehensive. There are no loopholes here. This covers moral evil, the snare of the fowler, every attack of the enemy, and it covers natural evil, the deadly pestilence, and that has to include coronaviruses. And it's 24/7 cover. It covers terror by night and arrows by day. So then, crucially, what is covered? What is covered? And let's be careful with this. What is covered? Our soul is covered. Our soul is covered now and forever. We're spiritually covered. If we are in Christ, then our relationship with God is 100% secure. No matter what happens, no matter what we face, He is present. He will be with us in trouble. He commands His angels to guard our souls. We are protected under His wings with His compassion. Like a shield, we are strengthened with His steadfast love. No evil or plague can destroy our souls if we are in Christ. And when we call to Him in the name of Jesus, He answers, not according to our will, but according to His good and perfect will. And all of the time, spiritually, He is delivering us. He's sanctifying us in everything. He's working for our good and for His glory. In everything, He's changing us and transforming us, working in us and working through us. Our souls, now and forever, are 100% secure in Christ. So what then about our bodies? What about our physical bodies? This is where we need to be very careful. We must not misuse these promises. Don't misquote these promises like Satan misquoted them to Jesus. Don't misquote them as if they're some kind of magic wand promises to avoid suffering. The very suffering that Jesus said we would go through in our bodies in this life. They're not magic wand promises to avoid physical suffering. But let me be clear, absolutely God can protect us physically. And absolutely, I believe that God can heal us physically when we get sick. But He doesn't promise to. And so we must not misuse these promises as 100% cast iron guarantee promises that God will deliver us physically now or heal us physically now. Actually, we can be sure that we will suffer in our physical bodies. We will suffer. We're following Jesus, aren't we? And Jesus suffered. And He said that we would also. We will suffer and we will die unless we're alive when Jesus returns. We will suffer and we will die. But in Christ, we will not be overcome because Jesus was not overcome. And in fact, He has already overcome. And so even though we die, we shall live. One day we will rise physically and our bodies will be resurrected and made new. He will rescue us from the grave and He will honor us with Jesus, and He will satisfy us, not just with long life, but with eternal life, forever in the glory presence of God, when His glory fills the earth. It's true. In Jesus, we too are delivered through suffering and death to life and relationship, loving relationship with God forever. And so we can say with confidence that right now, In the difficult times, there is no need to fear. Whether it's the pestilence that stalks in the darkness or the destruction that wastes at noonday, no need to fear. As Luther sang, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. So then, Psalm 91, is it too good to be true? No, actually, it's even better than we imagine. These are not just promises for time. These are promises in Christ for all eternity. Was this psalm true for Jim Elliot? Yes, because it's true for Jesus. Is it true for us? Yes, if we are in Christ, it's true for us. Because it's true for Jesus. In Jesus, we too are delivered through suffering and death to life and loving relationship with God forever. If you are in Jesus, let me ask you this evening, are you in Jesus? Have you turned in repentance from your sin? Have you trusted by faith into the safe place, the only safe place for time and eternity, into Jesus? Well, if by faith you are in Jesus, dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, then God says to you, I will deliver you. I will protect you. When you call, I will answer you. I will be with you in the day of trouble. And one day I will rescue you and honor you and with long life, with eternal life, I will satisfy you from beginning to end. I will show you my salvation. You see, this evening, if you're not in Jesus, then you couldn't be in greater danger. But if by faith you're in Him, then it's true. You couldn't be safer. Romans chapter 8, I think, is a little bit like the New Testament's version of Psalm 91. After the service is over this evening, before you turn the light out, why not read them both through together? Paul asks the question in Romans 8, who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer is no one or nothing. No one or nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's amazing. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Are you safe in Him this evening? We used to sing a little chorus in Good News Club, and that's maybe 40 years ago. But let me tell you, the truth of this chorus is still as precious and still as true for all who are in Christ. Safe am I, safe am I in the hollow of his hand, sheltered over with his love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no fear alarm me, for he keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I in the hollow of his hand. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these amazing promises. Father, we thank you that they are your promises on the authority of the eternal, unchangeable God. These promises have been written down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is your word. These are your promises. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the one who has fully met the conditions for these promises. We thank you for his perfect trust and obedience. Father, we thank you that by faith in Christ, these promises come to us. Yes, we recognize that just like Jesus, we too will face suffering and even persecution in this world. We will suffer and we will die unless we are alive when Jesus returns. But we thank you that in Jesus our souls are safe. We will not be overcome because he has already overcome for us. And we thank you that one day our bodies will be raised and renewed. And we thank you that we will be satisfied with life everlasting in your glory presence when your glory fills the earth. Help us to rest in this safety and supreme security that we have in the Lord Jesus. Help us not to be afraid, not today, with everything that's happening in the world around us, and not tomorrow, no matter what that may hold for us. We pray that each one who listens this evening would know for certain that they are safe in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.